This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
Barbara Streisand.
Big show today, and we've got a lot to do. So let's jump straight in. Are the Carolina Panthers tanking? Ever since Matt Rhule was hired, that's been the number one question asked this offseason. But before we can really answer that, I think we need an agreed-upon meaning for the word, and this is the one that's most readily available in terms of definitions I can find online. Fittingly, it's at Wikipedia. When has Wiki ever steered us astray? Tanking, a strategy of sports teams tactically and intentionally fielding losing teams in order to gain benefits that pay off later. That's the definition we have. After extending Christian McCaffrey earlier this week, by that definition, the Panthers are not tanking, at least not in the conventional sense. They are building with youth. Usually those things come synonymously. The players that are in their prime, they're usually more expensive. Younger players are generally cheaper. Teams that are tanking are usually among the younger teams in the league, and usually they're among the worst in the league as a result. However, while Carolina is building through youth, it hasn't come cheap at times. Teddy Bridgewater, 27 years old, he's being brought in for a $60 million contract over 3 years. A coveted player in free agency. Carolina lands him. McCaffrey, now going to have the richest contract, annual salary that is, a running back's ever had at $16 million a year. That salary is going to start hitting in 2022. However, 18 of the 22 projected starters right now for Carolina, offense and defense, are under 30 years old. This is proof of the youth movement. Matt Rhule trying to build things over time. A coach that had no issue winning just one game his first year at Baylor and winning two his first year at Temple, just as long as he understood what he had in place, what his core was going to be, and he's been given similar assurances, it seems, by David Tepper and Marty Herney when they hired him to be the coach. That's why he's been given as many years as he got, and on top of that, given all the guaranteed money up front. 18 of the 22 projected starters under 30. Those starters, Russell Okung, 31 years old, Matt Paradis, 30, K.K. Short on defense, 31 years old, and recently acquired Tahir Whitehead at linebacker, 30. No skill player, over 26. Robbie Anderson's the oldest skill player among those who are slated to be starters. This could change with the draft, too. So we're talking about 18 out of 22. If they draft, let's say, Isaiah Simmons, if he falls from Clemson, the Panthers take him. Odds are he's going to start at linebacker with Shaq Thompson, which means Whitehead might come off the bench. So it could still get younger as the Panthers pick in the draft. The most important objective for Carolina this year is not to gain a high draft pick. It's not even to make the postseason. This is what I was talking about last year. At about this time last year, we were highlighting the most important objectives for Carolina. And some would say, oh, you got to get to the playoffs. The first thing I looked at is Cam Newton going to be the long-term answer for Carolina? And even though it was painful and it was a tough season leading to the firing of Ron Rivera in December, Carolina got the answer to the most important question, the most important thing they needed addressed a year ago. Figuring out if Cam was going to be their quarterback for the next 5 years, if he was going to warrant a long-term deal. Of course, with him getting hurt, that just wasn't going to happen. This year, it's not getting a top draft pick that would allow you to draft Trevor Lawrence and Clemson. It's not making the postseason year one for Matt Rhule. It is getting definitive answers on offensive talent. Is Curtis Samuel worthy of a long-term deal? He's going into the last year of his rookie deal. How about Teddy Bridgewater? Is he a franchise quarterback? I think he's going to be given that shot. He's 27, not 37. Former first-round pick, 5-0 last year with the Saints. Understands this offense Brady's trying to run. He's going to be given every opportunity. 27, quarterbacks are playing until they're 40 years old. So if he's great this year, it's likely going to lead to some wins for Carolina. And if it doesn't, and Carolina's in position to draft a quarterback, I don't know if they do it. If Bridgewater puts up big numbers. Speaking of that Brady guy, are we sure he's worth the hype? I think there's enough personnel now, bringing in a left tackle, having a solid, healthy quarterback, having McCaffrey around, adding Robbie Anderson, slot depth, Seth Roberts, Keith Kirkwood. There's enough talent, enough good personnel on offense for those answers to get addressed. I think that's the most important thing for Carolina year one for Matt Rhule. Is Teddy Bridgewater a franchise quarterback? Do you give Curtis Samuel a long-term deal? Is Joe Brady worth the hype? You can tweet the show at SportsHubTriad, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. With the exception of the McCaffrey deal, the Panthers, they seem to have valued short-term deals, of course, youth. Let's look at every single transaction Carolina's made this offseason, and you be the judge of that. P.J. Walker, they bring in him. Roughnecks legend. 2-year contract. Teddy, 3-year deal, no guaranteed money on the third year. So it really is a 2-year deal. Defensive lineman Zach Kerr, 2-year contract. He was with the Cardinals most recently. Robbie Anderson, 2-year deal. Roberts, Kirkwood, Pharaoh Cooper, 1-year contract at wide receiver for each of them. Tight end, Seth DeValve, 1-year deal. John Miller, do you see the trend here? Offensive guard, he was at Louisville once upon a time. 1-year deal. Russell Okung, 1 year left on his contract. Carolina, they're not locking in long-term money into anybody other than McCaffrey. They know what they have there, and McCaffrey's 23 years old, so they feel pretty confident he's going to play the length of his contract. Actually, we actually heard from Matt Rhule yesterday. He was on WFNZ in Charlotte, radio station over there, and he was asked about the McCaffrey extension. First off, whether or not he's concerned with the recent trend of running back contracts not really panning out, talking about Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, Devontae Freeman.
We see him as a weapon, and we see him as a person that can be a receiver, can be a running back, can be a returner, and more probably as important as anything else, is a true leader, you know, on the team and a guy who does things the right way. So I don't think he's the type of player that you can just pigeonhole into one position, and therefore I think, you know, some of those things maybe don't add up quite as much.
So he doesn't really see him as much of a conventional running back. That addresses the point that, hey, it's not fair to compare him to Zeke, to Gurley, to Freeman. He's a better back in terms of production. He doesn't have as much injury history. He's more versatile. He could play more positions. So Rhule beating a similar drum that we have talking about the extension. How does he plan to protect that investment, though? 93% of snaps he played last year. That's an awful lot, and it puts you in a position where you could get injured if he keeps playing at a similar rate. Here's what he said in response to that. He actually says that the pieces they brought in, and we've hit on a couple of them, they are brought in to protect McCaffrey in mind.
I think that's one of the things that we did in free agency. We went out and got someone like Robbie Anderson, who's a dynamic player. We got Seth Roberts, who's a dynamic player. We got Keith Kirkwood, who's a you know versatile guy. So what we wanted to do was just put a bunch of weapons around Teddy and really attack people in a lot of different ways. And so I think Christian will play a ton. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the National Football League. But I don't think it'll be a situation where he doesn't, you know, where he stays on the field the entire game.
Let me set up the show a little bit. Robert Walsh, he's the producer of this show. Aaron Gabriel, he's in the control room right now after not being here for the very start of the show because he needed a snack. What kind of snack did you grab here? You got a lot in front of you.
Tell you what I got here. I got a gold mine.
What do you got?
I got Tahitian treat. If you don't know what Tahitian treats are,
I don't know what that is.
Educate yourself. Educate yourself, Josh Graham.
Fruit punch.
It's fantastic.
That looks really good.
I got me a Rice Krispie treat here. Also have not one, not two, but three packs.
Count them.
Of Keebler Fudge Stripe cookies, Josh Graham.
Where did you get all this?
A local market. I'm supporting local businesses.
I appreciate that. Art Chansky, he has covered the ACC for a very long time, written books about North Carolina and Duke basketball. He's going to join us to share some Michael Jordan stories back when he was playing with the Tar Heels. Then we're expecting B-Dot later this hour. However, I hope B-Dot's doing okay. He can hear me, I'm sure, in his car right now, or maybe he can't, because I just got this message. Dude, I ran out of bleeping gas. Hopefully I'll be there by 4. I'm an idiot.
Good for him that gas is cheap, though.
You know? That's right. You're going to be okay.
A little piece of daily positivity.
He might be. Yeah, can you hit the daily positivity music for me very quickly? Congratulations, B-Dot. You might be the first person in the state of North Carolina during the shutdown to run out of gas. At least it's like $1.45 a gallon somewhere, or $1.50. We're proud of you, B-Dot. Should I do this read in this voice?
Give it a shot.
All right. We got an update on Wake Forest basketball. And while I don't think it's feasible for John Curry to fire Danny Manning right now, it sure looks like he wants to. That's next on The Drive.
What the hell is this?
The Drive.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you what.
Get caught up with all things sports.
That's awesome!
Well, that's not totally true. He talks about The Bachelorette, too.
Yes!
The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Anybody who knows me knows I'm a film, documentary connoisseur, and I am so excited about the Michael Jordan Last Dance docuseries that's going to start on Sunday. But I put together a list of sports documentaries that haven't been made yet, but when they are made, will consist of the best subject matter. And I put it on Twitter simply asking, hey, what do you think would make for an appealing documentary project? And I've gotten a ton of responses. Somebody saying old Shaq and Kobe, maybe have that beef back. However, I will say this. Usually documentaries that feature a dead subject aren't as great as ones that obviously have them when they're alive. So as much as Kobe Bryant is an interesting figure, a lot of those stories are going to be lost if they're not being told firsthand by Kobe. So I've been getting that. Lakers three-peat team, a Pete Rose documentary, Mike Tyson. There's already been a Mike Tyson documentary, I think, that's been made. So I don't think that really qualifies. B-Dot apparently is on the premises, and he's going to join us in just a bit. If you have any more submissions, you could send them in on Twitter at SportsHubTriad or 336-777-1600. I think I have to put them into categories. I have three individual profiles I think would be great. I have three about specific teams, and I have three that would highlight specific moments in history. Individual profiles, the golden goose for the next decade is Tiger Woods. That's the only athlete, I think, today that would warrant a 10-part series being done on him. Peyton Manning, probably not. Tom Brady, I don't know. I don't think he's really that compelling. He doesn't really transcend sports in many ways. Tiger Woods did, and he does. So whenever that time comes, the Tiger Woods documentary is going to be maybe not as big as this MJ doc series is, but it's going to be massive. How about this? Maybe this is just selfish to us locally. David Thompson. I've had to remind people time and time again how great David Thompson is, because it seems younger people forget about that. David Thompson, he was the person that introduced MJ at his Hall of Fame ceremony in 2009. He's the greatest player in the ACC. Anybody who knows the league and its history would say that. And obviously, the selfish local perspective is that he won a title for NC State. I think enough people have forgotten about his story, there would be a lot of interest there. The rise and the fall of David Thompson. And the last individual story I have, this one might, I might get some pushback on it. The Scott Fowler, Ray Carruth podcast series, the project he took on at the Charlotte Observer, it was so good. But the one thing missing was Ray Carruth. He was still in prison when that was being done. Now that Carruth is out of prison, and considering the success of True Crime and that story, those set of stories that Scott Fowler did, that project he did, I could see somebody like ESPN, 30 for 30, I could see somebody like HBO convincing Carruth to tell his story and also to have all sides included here. I think there would be a lot of interest in that. I really do. So I would add Carruth to that. Running through a couple of these very quickly. Robert, which of these do you think would be the most compelling documentary among teams with the most interesting, compelling figures and also the story all together? The New Orleans Saints going from being one of the worst franchises in the NFL, adding Drew Brees and Sean Payton right after Hurricane Katrina hit, going on to win the Super Bowl and Brees being a Hall of Fame quarterback. That, the Seattle Seahawks, the Legion of Boom, Russell Wilson being passed over by Tom O'Brien, or at least that's how the story goes in some circles at NC State. He's drafted. He plays immediately. They win a Super Bowl. They lose another. They're probably supposed to win. Pete Carroll escapes USC right at the right time. That feels like there could be something there. 2006 Texas. We saw the 2006 USC story told, really just the USC dominance of the 2000s. But Mack Brown, we love him as a storyteller. He would be great in a documentary. Vince Young and others, that Texas team was tremendous. I think that's a story that needs to be told. So out of those three, which do you think is the most interesting? Saints, Seahawks, or 2006 Texas?
At first, did you say for teenagers? Did you want me to specify which one of these would be the best for teens? Is that what you said?
No, teams.
Oh, teams. Okay.
Team
documentary. The whole time I was like, I don't know. I think all these teenagers don't know anything about this
stuff. I don't think teenagers would be interested in that. Hey, B-Dot.
Hi.
Robert, what's your answer to that?
I'd probably
we'll get to you in a second.
I'd probably
we'll get to what's happening with you.
I don't know. All of those would be pretty captivating for me. Personally, I'd be really interested in the Saints or the Texas story, but I could also see how the Seahawks, there's so many characters on that team, whether it's Marshawn, Richard Sherman, that would also be polarizing.
We've got B-Dot's Grammar School in 10 minutes. How about specific moments in history, though? I think I have three written down here, B-Dot. You tell me which would make for the best sports documentary. We haven't had the NBA be a part of anything involving what I'm about to say. And I think with David Stern now passed and a new commissioner in place, it's time for the Malice at the Palace doc. I think we need that. Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, there was some strife there. They played each other after the fact. He went to Minnesota in the division. Two of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen on the same team. There's something there. And we still don't have the definitive steroids documentary yet. I like Screwball, which featured a lot of stuff regarding Alex Rodriguez, but getting Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to talk about 1999, I think, would be great, too. Or any, just really a steroids documentary where guys are being honest and speaking on the record. Which of those would pique your interest the most?
Oh, the Palace.
Oh,
if
my
the
gosh.
NBA signed on to that one would be awesome. I would love to just get, you know, just even the guy who got cold cocked, that was the fan.
The fan, yes!
Yeah.
I want to hear
They'll
from him.
They'll find him.
Yeah, I want to hear from him. And
we need Meta World Peace.
Yeah, but that
actually
fan,
we need Ron Artest. We don't need Meta World Peace.
But we know what happened to all of the NBA guys. We don't know what happened to the fans. Like, I would love to go in depth on how their lives changed, bro.
I have one question that I need answered by a Malice at the Palace documentary. Just one question. What was going through Jamal Tinsley's head when he grabbed a dustpan and tried to fight someone with it.
That's fight or flight right,
right.
there.
Yeah. I just want – that's one of my favorite videos. You can find it on the internet. You can find it on YouTube. He's going into the tunnel. He grabs a dustpan, and he's trying to do business with it.
You ever been hit with a dustpan?
I have not.
I bet it don't feel good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's also somebody I bet would not trust their hands. Like, if you're in a fight and your first instinct is to grab a dustpan, they probably don't trust their mitts that much.
All right, we put this aside too long. You just ran out of gas.
I feel that.
Today, I just want to reset the day. You ever just want to reset the day?
Yeah, I had that feeling on Monday.
Listen, the way today has been giving it to me, I am going to poop golf ball shaped.
Why are you blaming your GPS though?
Well,
you said your GPS.
Play me. I put the address in and I put Kernersville in. It sends me to High Point. And I look up, it says, your destination is on the right. I'm like, no, the hell it isn't. I know the area. This ain't it. Man, I hate GPS, man, because when you put an address in, you really don't
know.
Are you
using
Waze
or the Maps app?
I was using Waze of all places.
That's where you did it wrong.
I used
the Maps app.
Really?
I like Waze, though. Waze tells you, like, if there's an accident or there's cops up here. Or...
Aaron, put this on the poll really quickly. At Sports Hub Triad, which GPS app do you use? Waze, Maps, or other?
Waze has the snitches.
Wait, exactly. They're going to let you know whether there's a cop up here on the left, right, in
yes.
the road.
Is that right?
With you.
Yes.
They let you know where cops are?
Yes.
Because they ask you to do that. So if you see a cop, you can be like, oh, okay, there's
cop
a cop up here on the right.
Do the cops like Waze?
I don't. I personally don't give
a dad.
Who
cares what 12
gum.
Likes?
Is it Waves?
W-A-Z-E.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So we'll put that out. You can vote on that at Sports Hub Triad, 336-777-1600. So when did you realize you were in a bad spot on gas?
Well, when I was halfway, like I'm leaving from Charlotte and my light comes on and I see the light come on. But the way my seat is, I can't see the light when it's just on with my gas pump saying the light is there. But I heard the notification and I was on a phone call. So while I'm on the phone call, I'm just talking. The phone call is great. I'm an hour into the phone call and my car starts doing the freaking Harlem Shake. Yeah, it just starts down P. Diddy, G. Depp into the side of the road.
How far back do you lean in the car?
I mean, I gangsta lean in my whip, bro. I'm driving
bro,
a 2019
Charger.
You
lean that hard?
Oh, my God.
No, the way the light is placed, you cannot see it. Aaron, I want you
all
to
right. Come. So were you on the side of the road?
Yeah. Like, I pulled over on the side of the road. As a matter of fact, Josh, when you called me, I rolled up my window because I was so embarrassed. I thought you were going to hear the cars going, yum, yum, yum. And you're like, where are you, bro? Like, my car had just cut off right then. And I didn't tell you because I'm like, it's
wait a minute. I called you right before the show started.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm like,
you were out of gas?
Yeah. I'm like, I got 45 minutes, though. No way.
He did not mention that on the line. He's just like, all right, I'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Because I knew I would handle it.
What are the differences between texting me about being on the show and then texting Josh about being on the show?
Oddly enough, both of you were the exact same.
Really?
Neither one of you gave a crap if I showed up or not. And I didn't know if that was like a compliment or if you all were just cool.
I just didn't want you to stress about it.
Yeah, that's kind of my approach to it. I've also been told I'm a bad texter. Like, people think I'm a jerk when I text them.
I can imagine.
I've been trying to use more emojis.
What is your most used emoji right now?
Actually, it's not emojis. It's I love liking the text.
See, I hate that because
I love it.
It gives you another notification
anything.
That's like a text.
Right, I also don't have to say anything. So you can't criticize what I said. I can just like the message.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm heavy on that too. Like I'll put a question mark on the message or a ha-ha on the message. I'll do that. Yeah.
Boom. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
But
and
I'm
now,
paying the gifts and the emojis.
I'm
too.
Also a big ha-ha-ha guy. Never just a single ha or ha ha. It's ha 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 ha.
You might as well not even respond.
Ha ha ha.
All right, B-Dot's going to take me to grammar school next.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
He's confident, smart, witty, vicious, brutal, vindictive, a monster.
This is an evil man.
Maybe, but he knows his sports. Back to The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
So B-Dot's in studio with us. We got grammar school in a second. He's telling me how I need to go on IG Live and do something around the Last Dance Jordan documentary.
Absolutely.
Would there be any audience for that? Watching me? Maybe my girlfriend sitting there watching the Michael Jordan doc? I don't think there would be any interest in that.
Well, I think there's an audience of people that will be interested in knowing what your thoughts were. So versus them being able to see you okay. and the gorgeous Sarah Bradford.
So maybe
they would just see the television.
Yeah. Sarah Bradford, I tried to talk her into watching MJ. She's like,
she's not interested?
Is it going to be as good as the OJ doc? I said, yeah, it's probably going to be better than that. What's going to be better than an athlete who may have killed two people and that investigation? And I tried to explain MJ to her, and she's like, nah.
Mm. Gosh.
Not really into it.
Might need to rethink this thing, Josh.
Is that right?
Yeah, that right there was a strike against the whole thought process of Sarah Bradford.
Yeah, and you've been watching Seinfeld with her. She can break down and
watch
a little
I watch
MJ
Seinfeld
with
her every single night.
It's a good point.
That's what I do.
Josh, don't listen to them.
What, eh?
Don't listen to them, Josh. You like peace in your household.
You keep watching that Seinfeld.
Yeah.
You watch that Seinfeld and you shut up.
Nah, man, you got to give and give, bro. You got to give and give. You're giving a little bit on Seinfeld and you're enjoying it the same way that when she gives a little bit on MJ, she's going to enjoy it.
On Twitter, at SportsUpTryIt as well, which GPS app do you use, Maps or Waze? Early on, 64% of people say they use Maps.
Really?
I use Maps, so.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
That
Waze
I use Maps?
Waze is like the cool kid.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even know if it was a V or a Z in Waze.
I had never heard of Waze.
In an effort for me to try and become one of those cool kids, I might be on IG Live. I might start using Waze, and I'm starting to learn the urban vernacular.
Yeah.
Through this segment, BDOT's Grammar School. If you want to help me out, 336-777-1600 is the way to do that. If you want to be the person I go to give me a tip, to give me some information, a lifeline, if you will, on one of the grammar school words that you have. Let's dive right in.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Damn.
Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn BDOT's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a little street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time for BDOT's Grammar School.
And again, if you would like to be one of the lifelines for this segment, 336 is the area code, 777-1600. Last week, stay woke, feeling froggy, gas, stick, and ghost ride. Did you get a chance to ghost ride the whip any this weekend, Josh?
I did not.
Did not.
I need some assistance with that.
These five words for today, some of them are words that I've had to use in the last hour.
Ha!
Up first, I'm tight.
I actually know this one. I don't need any help. This is when you're just fuming. You are ticked off. You are tight.
Yes, super upset. Correct. Correct. That is 100%.
We're off to
correct.
A great start,
you
boys
are off
and
to
girls.
A great start.
Yeah.
Number two, take the L. Take the L.
Aaron, is it this easy? I think it is.
Super easy.
Okay, take the L. I know BDOT took the L in the last hour as he's off on the side of the road. This L means loss. Take the L, you lost.
Accept defeat. That is 100% correct. Boom. Take the L is to accept defeat.
I'm going to go 5 for 5 today. I'm beaming with confidence. Beaming.
Don't get carried away.
Oh, no. I got this, man. I got this.
Number three, gassed up. Gassed up.
He don't even need
did
a
you have? Up. Did you have this one written down before what happened to you earlier today?
Yes. Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
Well, there's a practical way that BDOT was not gassed up, but that's not what this word means. I don't even need help on this one. Gassed up means that you're charged up. You're fired up. You're ready. I mean, give you an example. Tom Brady, he's about to come on the field. He's gassed up. getting ready for his first game with the Buccaneers?
No.
Damn!
To gas someone up is to hype them up. For example, here's the example. If Sarah Bradford says, "Oh, Josh, you're the best boyfriend I've ever had," you would say, "Don't gas me up now.
Don't get me lit."
Yeah, don't, hey, don't, like, don't, hey, you gassing me. Yeah.
Oh.
You're gassing me. Don't gas me. You're the best sports guy on radio, Josh.
Okay, I need to.
See,
yeah,
I'm
don't,
gassing.
Don't get me lit.
Sort of. Word number four. Word number four, if you would like to be a lifeline that Josh apparently does not need today, 336-777-1600. What is the trap?
Oh. The trap.
What is the trap?
I almost was about to say something that would be very caucastic of me.
Oh.
I know the trap music. No. Oh. That's,
all right, Josh
not,
misses that
not,
one.
That's not what I was about to say. It's not caucastic if you acknowledge on the front end how caucastic it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I have lifelines. I'm going to use Robert on this one.
And I'm going to play this like Hollywood Square, so you are going to have to know whether to trust me or not to trust me.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I like it. Robert, what is the trap?
The trap is a place where illicit behavior or activities might transpire. A place where someone could stop and pick up a product that might not be legally purchased in stores.
I don't believe him. I don't think that's what it is. I think the trap is like when you see police officers or 12 stationed on the side of the road and they are checking licenses or something. That's the trap.
Can you please hit the buzzer for Brother Josh Graham? The trap is exactly what Rob was telling
me.
It's where you sell dope. That's where it is. But a lot of people use the trap on a more social level. Whatever job you have that you feel trapped in, you really don't want to do it, but it's a means to an end. That's the trap. So some people might work at McDonald's and say, "Yeah, I'm in the trap."
Okay.
Final word for you. Gosh, you're 2-2.
What's my final word?
You need this word because you have to hit three correctly out of the five to be successful in today's game.
All right.
Final word or phrase. Want the smoke? Want the smoke?
I
want
to make sure I don't get this backwards. I think I know this. And this is, I got two wrong, I got two right. This is for the win here. When you want that smoke is... when things are petty on the internet, when people are coming at you, you don't back down. You want that smoke. You're ready for a fight.
You are ready for a fight. Yeah! Congratulations. That is correct.
Yeah!
If you want that smoke, you are ready for a fisticuffs. And Josh is successful today. 3 out of 5.
I see you have somebody on the line, Robert. You said it's not a lifeline. Who do we have on the line here? Robert, what's the surprise you have for me here?
It's someone to debate about what you say your watching habits is. Someone would know them very well.
Hi, Sarah Bradford.
Sarah Bradford's here?
Hey, Josh.
Hi, Sarah Bradford.
Why are you even here?
Oh, come on. You can't be like, wow.
You're lifeline.
See?
Oh.
I was really hoping
you.
I could get to tell you about the word trap.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for
to
that.
Have a new definition.
What do you want? What do you have on Seinfeld? Are we not watching Seinfeld later?
No, I watched all the sports with you, all the documentaries. I watched all the comedy specials. And I love comedy. I can't even watch one anymore. I'm so sick of them.
When's the last time
I
we watched a documentary?
Seinfeld, and you really enjoy Seinfeld.
Mm, yeah.
Do you enjoy Seinfeld, Josh?
I do. I enjoy Seinfeld.
Sarah Bradford, is he painting a bad picture of you saying that you weren't going to watch the Jordan documentary? Is that what's going on? You're here to defend yourself?
Sorry, I'm outside. I'm about to go.
Did you not say that you weren't interested in the Jordan doc?
Oh, yeah, no. He doesn't sound very interesting.
Michael
if
Jordan?
If he gambled and got kicked out of the NBA, that is interesting. If he didn't, not interesting. I need a scandal.
We still don't even know why his dad got killed, though, Sarah Bradford. And he saved a whole world from an alien spaceship that was coming
to
kill
him.
Yeah, he saved a spaceship, and Space Jam.
Saved Earth is what he did.
That's what he
did. Oh, okay. Hey, is Bugs Bunny going to be featured on the documentary?
Maybe.
We don't know that.
If they interview Bugs Bunny, I'll
you've got to watch it, see.
Sarah Bradford, get out of here.
Bye, Sarah.
See ya. There she goes.
I love Sarah Bradford.
Yeah, bye. There she goes.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Josh's like, what do you want? Get out of my clubhouse.
Is Bugs Bunny going to be featured?
What are you doing here? What do you want?
I will give her credit, though. How about this? Somebody who doesn't know much about Michael Jordan, and the first thing she pulls out is, yeah, didn't he get kicked out of the NBA for gambling? Like, even people who don't know much about Jordan know about the conspiracy? I don't buy that conspiracy. Mm. Do you buy that conspiracy?
I don't know.
I do.
I don't know. I've grown to enjoy conspiracy theories, and that's one that's intriguing to me.
That one's not intriguing for this reason. Too many people would have to know. Yeah. It would have gotten out. Too many people. Like, oh, it would have been between him and David Stern. Okay, what are the Chicago Bulls told? Yeah, as if the Bulls don't know what would have happened. Oh, they kept it quiet too. Really? They don't mention it to anybody? The best player. Also, if Jordan didn't really actually wanted to play, don't you think he would have leaked it to some reporter? Hey, psst, by the way, this just happened here. There would be a mutiny in Chicago. People would lose their damn minds if that actually transpired and it got out. There's no way. And also, yes, they would actually, I don't think they would want the smoke.
They would want that smoke.
I don't think
they would be gassed up. They'd be getting gassed up, maybe like, Michael Jordan's the best of all time.
Nah, the NBA would have took the L.
Yeah, yeah. Good job, Josh.
Look, he's used it. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tight. Sarah Bradford calls in. I felt like it was the trap.
Josh is gonna show this off like his SAT score. He's like, I went 5 out of 5 on grammar school.
He's going to put it up on his refrigerator.
Yeah. Man,
1600 in
so,
the.
John Curry, he has questions to answer. Like, Wake Forest, I think they're in a position where they might want to make a move on the basketball coach based on some of the weird happenings that are happening with the athletic department right now. We'll go into that next on The Drive.
We're back on the air.
It's The Drive.
You suck.
And yet you keep returning.
Sports talk.
It's offensive and people can get hurt.
The Drive with Josh Graham.
It rang.
On Sports Hub Triad.
The breaking news in the Winston-Salem Journal and on our next guest Twitter page, at Connor O'Neill, WSJ. Chaundy Brown is going to enter the NBA draft process. Danny Manning told us last week that's something he encourages guys like Chaundy and Olivier Saar to do. That's not the most newsworthy part, though. He says if he doesn't choose to go to the NBA, he's going to enter the transfer portal, effectively ending his time as a Demon Deacon. It should be noted, at around this time last week, Connor, you were talking to Danny Manning, you posted a quote about his assurances, whether he expected to return to Wake Forest, and Chaundy himself went on his social media to defend Danny, saying he's our coach, he's going to come back, and we are going to have success, essentially, paraphrasing what Chaundy's saying, of course. So a lot of people were surprised at the headline you just broke in the last 15 minutes. What is going on behind the scenes, you think, here?
I just want to revisit the playing it in with Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. I love that song.
That's excellent.
No, this is something that struck me by surprise when I was told about it, and wasn't planning on breaking this story minutes before coming on with you. That's just kind of the way it worked out. I would say that tweet that Chaundy had last week, the quote tweet of my tweet, you will not be able to find on Twitter. It's been deleted.
Wow.
I tend to try to tell myself and anybody else that'll listen not to read too much into any deleted tweets, liked tweets, retweeted tweets. Like, there's so much nuance that goes into Twitter that you can never, I think, read too much into anything that happens on Twitter. But, you know, it is also, he at some point in the last 6 days made a conscious decision to delete that tweet. I'm told that he still is a big fan of Danny Manning as a coach. I don't know how exactly that fits into the decision to not play your senior year at Wake Forest. You know, I also think that Shondy wants to make the NCAA tournament. Shondy committed to Wake Forest and signed when they were in the middle of a 19-win season with John Collins looking like the ACC Player of the Year. And Shondy's record is, the quick math off the top of my head, is 35-56, I think, yeah. Or 35-58 in his Wake career. And, you know, there's not all that much to suggest that whatever next season looks like, it's going to be a turnaround.
I think it's very important, Connor, to establish the difference between what you're asked to do and what I'm asked to do, in case some people can't differentiate. What you do in the Winston-Salem Journal, it's in the news section. It's in the sports section. What I do, it's on the editorial page. I'm asked to give opinions on things. However, when I look at some of the actions here, I think for John Curry, or the lack thereof, I think the perception that exists, you see reporting done by you where the attendance is declining and he doesn't want to be a part of that story. Andrew Carter from the News and Observer writes a really long piece on the state of Wake basketball. Curry, he declined to comment in that. David Glenn, he has the story for the ACC Sports Journal that buyout negotiations began. John Curry, no response to that. He's dodging questions about men's basketball, and we know that because Chris Lee mentioned on Twitter he spoke with Curry yesterday only to talk about the pay cuts for Wake Athletics, explicitly told no questions about men's basketball. Danny, he comes on the show. He's asked about assurances. He says he's given none. Since he hasn't disputed any of the reporting, he's not a part of any of the reporting done. He's dodging questions. And Danny says there's no assurances. Now adding the Chaundy Brown news on top of it, deleting the tweet like you mentioned, the perception exists here that Curry, these moves, they lead you to believe he's trying to get rid of a basketball coach. Do you believe that's what the perception is right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I understand that this is an unprecedented time and there's no playbook to work with for what we're dealing with in the world right now. But an end of the year review doesn't take 35 days. And amid a pandemic or in normal times, I don't think it should take this long to review a program and figure out why things didn't work this year and why they haven't worked for 5 out of 6 years in a tenure. You know, there's a lot of time that has passed between now and that Pittsburgh game.
What's the question you want most answered right now, aside from the obvious, hey, Danny Manning, is he going to return as Wake Forest's basketball coach? What do you make of, I mean, it's something as small as yesterday. The Dave Clawson news comes out that he's taking a 10% pay cut and John Curry's taking a pay cut. And it implies that the other coaches are taking a pay cut too. And Danny Manning, he's a pretty big name. The fact that he's not even mentioned on that, I mean, every sign right now is pointing that they're making a change, right?
Well, that's my thing. Like, that really bothered me yesterday, and I wasn't able to sink my teeth into it as much as I wanted to. You know, you had to dig through Curry's from the quad to even find that every coach at the school was going along with taking a pay cut. The release that they sent about Clawson was only Clawson mentioned. And, you know, that, I don't know. I mean, I would think that, you know, if Dave's taking a 10% cut and every other coach is taking 5%, then sure, Clawson deserves to be lauded for that. But if you know, at least mention the other coaches. Like, and that, I don't know, that just didn't sit right with me.
If there's, if there is a change done here, if they do move off of Danny Manning, that's something that happens in the next few weeks. How does that play from a PR perspective, you think?
I think it, you know, I think you'll have to answer public perception questions of, is this really the most prudent thing to do in a global crisis?
Because the news yesterday is, hey, everybody's taking pay cuts. And the reports out there are, if everything's fully guaranteed, it's going to cost $15 million to fire Danny Manning, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you've got, I haven't been to downtown Winston in almost a month now, so I can't speak firsthand of this, but I've been told that, like, those, the parking gates at Wake that I always kind of take note of when I'm going there for, you know, a normal football presser or basketball interviews, I kind of take note of those guard towers, I guess they're not towers, but booths is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Those are always empty and the gates are always up. I've been told that those are now manned 24/7 and you basically have to have, you know, level whatever clearance to even get on campus right now. So, and people, like, even if they park off campus and walk on and, you know, hop a fence somewhere, then they try to go into their building, their key card won't work unless they're so authorized as, you know, essential personnel and that kind of thing. So it's really not the ideal time to be making a move. Not that there's ever really an ideal time, but this certainly in this climate, it's far from an ideal time.
What do you think this news means for Olivier Saar? How do you think it affects that?
So I think Olivier probably shares the same motivation to get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, these guys play in the ACC. They see that, you know, this year, notwithstanding, the ACC sends about half their teams to the NCAA tournament. Wake hasn't been close to sniffing that in their 3 years in Winston. And, you know, that's something that every college player wants to experience.
But don't you think that together, this team might have been one of the more talented teams Danny has and probably had a shot to do that? You don't think that this headline today might be linked to the status of Danny?
I think I would hope that Shondy would make this decision not based on Danny. I think I would hope that, you know, he's going to do what's in his best interest. I don't know how much of an NBA prospect he is. I don't know what the draft process will look like, but, you know, I'm fairly confident in saying that this decision was made on his own volition.
Connor, excellent reporting as always, man. I didn't expect it either, like you didn't, that the news would break right before you did this radio interview. Follow his work, support his work. Winston-Salem Journal, I've said it all along. Hey, this is a time you need to support local business. That includes places like the Winston-Salem Journal. Follow him on Twitter at ConnorO'NeillWSJ. It's good to hear from you, buddy. Hope you're staying safe.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Josh.
You got it. That's Connor O'Neill from the Journal. Again, that is a news gatherer. That is a guy who is reporting in facts, not a lot in opinion. And he's saying, yeah, everything's pointing towards Wake Forest is going to make a change with their basketball coach. Like, what is the selling point now? I get that economics aren't very feasible, that you can shell out $15 million. However, that could always be negotiated. They have in the past. They happen without us learning much about them. So I really think something's going to get done. The buyout details, they're going to get taken care of. This is kind of the last straw. He had to have Chaundy back, because losing Chaundy, I think they're going to lose Olivier. And if they lose both those guys, you got one of the worst teams in the ACC. You just do. 13th, 14th, 15th place team. That's what this is. Like, I don't even know what this team is without Chandi Brown and Olivier Sarr. Let me try to put together a lineup right now. Okay, you got Jacoby Neath at point guard, shooting guard. You just brought in a guy from Houston Baptist. Three, I guess you'd play Isaiah Musius, Odie Aguama, and then at center, you probably would have either Sunday Okeke, who was injured all of last year, or Tariq Ingram, who was injured all of last year. Yikes. I don't know if any of those guys starts on another ACC team. This right here, I think it's it. This coupled with radio silence from Wake Forest Athletics. This put right next to Danny Manning lacking any level of assurance that he might be returning. No disputing of any of the reporting done by David Glenn Connor, Andrew Carter, you name it. Constant invitations reached out to Wake Forest to try and get John Curry on this show turned down. Chris Lee does get him. He says on social media he was explicitly told not to ask about basketball. Dodging questions about it. I mean, I get it. If you want to make a decision and you can't quite do it yet, like you can't quite announce it, you can't quite, because it's not good from a PR perspective to do so, it's not quite the time that you could ask business leaders to put in the money and invest in order to get something done. I understand not wanting to answer questions. However, it's my responsibility to tell the audience how things look and where things are at. And everybody I've talked to at Wake Forest says this is just a weird situation. It's incredibly weird where Danny is recruiting his ass off and Ian DuBois gets brought in from Houston Baptist. Things are looking good when you consider Brown is still a part of the fold and he's supporting Danny on social media. This is 6 days ago. Now that tweet is deleted. And now Chandi Brown's no longer a Demon Deacon, according to Connor's reporting. Just great stuff from Connor. A lot of stuff on the show today. Robert, what do you got in Take It to the House?
It's a panda eat panda world, Josh, and we're just living in it.
Is this the story that we didn't get to yesterday?
No, it's not, but I can give you that one too.
All right, we're going to have two Take It to the House stories because Mike Wilbon went long yesterday. No regrets on that. And if you missed that, you can find that on the podcast. Just search The Drive with Josh Graham wherever you get your podcast. We take it to the house. Double order, Dax.